This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Now that Congress is in the August recess, we're taking time to reconnect as we're able to with lawmakers that represent Oregon and represent the 4th Congressional District in particular. Have some upcoming interviews that we're putting together or are already on the schedule. But the first one, Congresswoman Val Hoyle, representing the 4th District. Congresswoman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And what was the kind of a broad brushstroke? What was the first half of the year like in Congress?
Well, it was interesting, that's for sure. We definitely saw a much more partisan approach to lawmaking in a way that I think was not helpful. We had massive bills rushed through, started at the dead of night, 1 o'clock in the morning, pushed through with only Republican votes because there was no opportunity for Democrats to put amendments in for like the big beautiful bill. One of my key amendments was to make sure that counties could still receive timber receipts, because in that bill it eliminated the ability of our counties to receive timber receipts when timber is cut off of federal lands, and that just doesn't make any sense. So they pushed things through quickly, and I think that the public stakeholders deserve to have more of an input. And I think that, you know, with such a close margins in the House, we represent nearly half the people in the country, and I think there are those of us who work in a bipartisan way, and it would have been good to be able to be part of that process. On the other hand, we've been able to do some good things on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee and on the Natural Resource Committee. So, you know, things are happening, and also the process is broken.
By the way, I wanted to kind of dovetail on something you mentioned there about the timber receipts all going to the federal government, not being shared with the counties. And I know I've already heard concern from some of our local county officials here. Any idea how that got framed together? Was there a stated reason for doing that and taking the counties out of the equation?
Yes. The bill, the Big Beautiful Bill, was written specifically so it could get through the Senate parliamentarians' rules to have it be just need a simple majority, 51 votes, as opposed to, you know, being filibuster proof where you'd need 60 votes, which would mean you'd have to have something that both sides agree on. So the timber receipts piece, on what they had for expanding cutting timber on federal lands. For us, it's BLM and Forest Service lands. If the timber receipts piece was in, the parliamentarian in the Senate would not have allowed it to go through on a simple majority vote. So it was a procedural issue. I'm working with my Republican colleagues, Cliff Bence, Bruce Westerman from Arkansas, who's chair of the Natural Resources Committee, and anyone that will listen, to let them know how very important it is that we do not send our timber receipts for timber that is cut here back to the black hole of the Treasury in Washington, D.C. So there is support to have that change in a separate way, but we have to get it done quickly, and we cannot let it be tied up by partisan politics.
In the last few months, what's some of the legislation that you're particularly concerned about beyond the Big Beautiful Bill?
Well, a lot of it is in there. It is, you know, the removal of the hospital provider tax. So this is where hospitals, they pay money and tax themselves, and they get reimbursements for that investment by the federal government. We have 11 out of 33 rural hospitals that are at risk of closure, including in the 4th District. And I was in Curry County. I've spoken to people at the, from the Bay Area Hospital in Coos County, talked to clinics that are really, really concerned about, A, how are we going to keep our hospitals operating in our rural and frontier communities, and then also the new requirements for Medicaid, which ostensibly are about keeping people who shouldn't have Medicaid off the rolls, which I agree with, but immigrants who don't have documentation, who are not here legally, already don't qualify. And then they're putting in a lot of paperwork that and requirements to make sure every 6 months that people fill out lots of paperwork. Like, I have family members, one who has had a traumatic brain injury. Like, if you miss one question, they throw you off of Medicare and Medicaid. SNAP, we did an event with SNAP recipients, $6 a day for hungry people. I think cutting those programs to give tax cuts to the wealthiest people in America is bad policy. I want to see things that benefit working people. To that end, we are still moving forward, and we have both state support with $100 million in bonding for the dredging for the Coos Bay port, and also support from the federal government for still continuing to work on the Coos Bay port. This is a project that, again, will bring up to 8,000 jobs to the South Coast and Westlake County. And that's not a small thing. I mean, that is transformational for the South Coast to be able to be an economic engine again. And we've been able to keep that bipartisan and keep that project moving.
Now, as those projects, as that falls through, if everything goes as hoped at this point from your end of things, that would also impact Douglas County, I would think, as well, just in terms of transportation, yes, moving things over to I-5.
Absolutely. And part of the plan, certainly in Reedsport, is to make sure we have an overpass. So because this port will be moving containers directly to rail, eventually all the way out to the Midwest. So we're going to have to make sure that those rail lines are upgraded, that we have overpasses, so we're not, you know, splitting like the city of Reedsport in half. So this is a lot of infrastructure investment, construction jobs with apprenticeship opportunities, and then a lot of permanent jobs. We also need housing because, as you know, and anyone that's looked for housing in the Roseburg area or on the coast, that we don't have enough housing. So we really have to work and think about how to expand housing, how to put more housing in. The private company, it's a public-private partnership with the Port of Coos Bay, has agreed to build, you know, a couple of thousand housing units specifically for the construction workers that are going to come in. And that will be workforce housing for the workers that will be employed at the port.
Is along with what you mentioned for the port, other specific legislation that impacts the 4th District you could tell us about?
Yeah, we're really working on making sure that we keep our public lands public. I got to say, the outcry from the proposal by Utah Senator Mike Lee to sell off our public lands was fierce. And 2-1, I heard more from Republican and conservative constituents than I did from Democrats, although there were plenty of Democrats, too, that did not want public lands sold off. But we have to figure out how to manage our public lands. So whether it's wildfire prevention or wildland firefighting or cutting timber or, you know, keeping our parks open so that people can utilize our public lands. So we're looking at some state and tribal co-management bills for forestry and timberland. We're hopeful to that we may be able to, with Representative Vence, have a full committee hearing on this in near Roseburg sometime in the fall, and I think that would be great. I would like people to come and see the ONC forest, where you can see state, private, tribal, Forest Service, and BLM managed lands right next to each other. And people that don't come from a place like this, I think seeing that lets them understand what we need to do to move forward, and then also see all the fire scars and why it is so important that we address the hotter, drier climate, and that we make sure to stop these fires that, you know, are taking, what took 1 million acres last year in Oregon.
Let's talk about the federal workforce cuts. Some of those were paused for a while. They seem to be moving forward again, particularly in the area of the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management, that maybe have a more direct, immediate impact, along with the Veterans Administration, of course, here in Southwest Oregon. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think that the way that the DOGE cuts happened, where they just wholesale got rid of people without looking to see what their expertise was, you know, whether or not that job was needed, was devastating. And now we're trying to get people to come back after you fired people, pushed them out, you know, pushed retirement on them. And so now they're seeing a shortage of experienced federal workers. I think it's devastating. And what we're seeing at the VA, now this is happening with the VA, this district, the 4th Congressional District, has more veterans than any other district in the state of Oregon. And certainly in the Douglas County area, we have a lot of veterans that are active in making sure that they get the benefits that they earned. And we cannot gut programs that allow them to get services. In fact, we think that they need more services. For instance, I'm still fighting to get the money so that we can build the veterans home in Roseburg. That was a promise made, and that needs to be a promise kept. So we're working on those things. There are certain things that the government should do, and there are certain things that private business should do. And the gutting of NOAA, Forest Service, the VA, so many jobs in the federal government, we're starting to see people who can't get through to Social Security, right? Because they're waiting 6 hours on the phone and they get disconnected. What I would say is, if anybody is having trouble contacting a federal agency, they should contact my office, and we will help make sure that they can get through and get an answer. That's the IRS, the VA, passport services, if you need to get your passport expedited, student loans, immigration, all of these things we can help constituents work on. And that really is the focus of our office and what we do.
Where are we at with the Job Corps program?
So the Job Corps program was canceled. And again, this is something that should not be partisan. That Wolf Creek Job Corps program, it helped us, you know, make it so that there's less brush and less things to burn in our forest. It trained our youth for work in the forest, and it helped young people who learn differently or who have struggled get out and learn basic skills, right, and set their life back on track. I don't think, you know, there are very few more beneficial programs than the Job Corps, especially in the way we run it. We're still fighting to get that funding back, but that was canceled because there are some programs that had problems. But the key is, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You take care of the problem areas, and then you keep the things that are working. And I think the Wolf Creek Job Corps program is a good example of that.
What are your thoughts on the tariffs? Lots of them, also lots of executive actions.
Well, I firmly believe that we should be following the Constitution, and that the founders of this country set things up so that there's a system of checks and balances. You have Congress that makes the laws, you have the judiciary that interprets the laws, and the executive branch that, you know, enforces the laws. And we have an executive branch that is trying to do the job of the judiciary and Congress. And I feel like there are no checks and balances. There's no one. My colleagues who are in the majority in the House and in the Senate are not willing to stand up and say, hey, this is something that we don't want. For instance, tariffs. That is in the purview of Congress to weigh in on and set. And the erratic nature in which the president is going about putting tariffs in, taking tariffs off, what we're seeing is I have numerous small businesses who get parts from overseas and then they sell or make their products here in the United States. Their businesses are being crushed. And you know who's paying for that? Consumers. This is a tax on the consumer at the end of the day. And internationally, we're seeing people try and find other suppliers for their products in other countries. So we're losing market share, and that contributed to lower job numbers, that and the cutting of the federal government jobs. So this is hurting our economy, and I'm very proud that Oregon is an export-dependent state. We make good things. We export good things, but we're losing that market. So I just wish there was a more coherent plan for tariffs. Tariffs should be used as a tool, not as a weapon that is deployed on a whim when somebody's feelings got hurt.
Now, when we are going through this process, things have been moving at uncharacteristically warp speed for Washington, D.C. Certainly, if any of this ultimately gets rolled back by the courts and sticks, are you concerned about kind of the back and forth? Do we, you know, our policy may get shifted again?
Absolutely. And it's the erratic nature of how these things are happening and the inconsistency that in the business community really makes it difficult for them to plan day to day. Plan day to day for how many people they're going to hire. Plan day to day on what their supply chain is going to look like. Also, I mean, fundamentally, I don't care what party you're in, we should be concerned about any executive branch, whether it's Democrat or Republican, who are trying to expand their reach to be an imperial presidency. Again, the founders of this country wanted to ensure that we never had another king or tyrant, which is why you have three branches of government. And I'm concerned about the undermining of our democracy. I think the worst thing that can happen is that we have multiple states that just break out and do mid-cycle redistricting specifically for partisan reasons. That is unhealthy. And if we have more people in Congress that come from seats that are not like my seat, where you can't get elected with just Democrats or just Republicans, it makes it harder to come together in a bipartisan way and have solutions.
A couple minutes left. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle on with us today during the summer recess, both chambers of Congress out. And let's talk about that summer recess for a moment. What happens for your schedule? What kinds of things are you going to be involved in?
So we're traveling through the district. I've been to, so far, been to Curry County, Douglas County, Coos County. We've gone up to Lincoln and Benton County. And so I spend my time at home. It's hardly a recess. I spend my time at home talking to constituents and getting out in the community. I'll have a town hall in Lane County the week after next, and we'll continue showing up and talking to people, because I can't do my job in D.C. if I don't hear from my constituents, and that means in all parts of the district.
As you look towards the fall, what are some of the priorities of things you would like to do legislatively?
So we'll continue to work on the Port of Coos Bay and then the co-management bills for our federal lands. And then I'm on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. It is the most functional committee in Congress, so we're still moving ahead and operating in a bipartisan way. So we have a surface transportation bill, which is that comes up every few years, and we'll be allocating money for investment in your basic surface transportation, you know, your roads, your bridges, your rail, your buses, all of those things. So I'm looking forward to that. I was invited by with the Natural Resources Committee with Representative Nick Begich of Alaska to visit Alaska with the Natural Resources Committee. So we'll do that at the end of the month to just talk about things that we have in common, whether it's natural resource management or commercial fishing or public lands. And it'll be a bipartisan trip, so we'll take a few days there.
All right. We'll check in again later, hopefully during the recess. Fourth District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for being on with us today.
Well, thank you so much and have a wonderful day. Enjoy the fair.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.